Good morning. Today is a Friday, the 9th of February. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Geez, now you got a permanent guy across the street too, huh? Stevens.
Yes.
Sorry, didn't mean to sneak up on you on that one.
That was, yeah.
It was a shocker to you too?
not the fact, but the topic, yes.
Oh, okay. Fine and dandy.
Yeah, it's great. I've worked with him for a long time. So.
I would think stability is a pretty positive thing.
Yeah.
Because you, at the functional level, you guys know what's going on. You know what to anticipate. You know what their shorthand language references are. They know what yours are, and it just kind of flows.
Yeah, if you have a solid working relationship, then that's very important.
Okay, are you ready? We're in the category now, politics and history.
My favorite.
I sensed that from you. this is also fashion, which I know you're there too.
You can tell my
yes, we're in that whole power blue thing.
That's right.
I got it. All right. How did Edward VII make it fashionable to leave the bottom button of a man's vest undone?
Well, I'm just going to...
Playing hard into your fashion background.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with some direct facts. I think the man had a bit of a massive stomach, and he couldn't sit down with his coat buttoned. Therefore, he had to unbutton his lowest button. And then people were like, oh, that looks... Whatever the king does, you know?
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The king is not wearing any clothes kind of a thing. Everybody...
I wouldn't go quite that far.
Everybody's going to think that's just great.
So that's why there's
great.
So many nudist beaches in England and Scotland and Ireland and Wales.
That's right.
But
there are a lot of them in the Scandinavian countries. And then isn't like...
Yeah, but he wasn't...
Polar bear swimming?
That's a crazy thing.
I'm talking more about temperature than anything else.
Yeah, polar bears. There's got to be... I think initially either there must have been an awful lot of alcohol involved. I mean, New Year's Eve, plunging into ice water.
Well, when it's...
A sane person doesn't do that.
When it's winter for 9 months of the year, you just kind of...
Suck it up?
Outside.
Yeah.
Just do what you want to do.
All right, well, I'm not going to believe you on that one. King Edward VII had a large appetite. And an even larger tummy.
Yeah.
He nailed it, dude. He began leaving the bottom button of his vest undone because after a meal, he simply couldn't button it up.
Yeah.
Those who didn't want to make the king uncomfortable
did
the same, and so it became the fashion of the day. Edward's bulging belly may in part have been a consequence of his favorite dish. Interesting. Which was chicken a la king.
Really?
Huh. You know, I don't think I've ever had that in a Chinese restaurant.
That's not really a Chinese recipe.
Well, it's not Japanese.
I think it's French. I don't think it's either.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like a cream sauce.
Winston, let's go to our Wikipedia common source.
Let's go to chicken, help a friend.
Chicken a la king.
Google that.
Is that Asian in source or French? If you get two in a row on the same show, I'm never going to be able to have you in here without being reminded of that.
You'll have to get a new book.
Burn this one. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's an inferior one.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll burn it in a controlled way.
Yeah.
Well, chicken a la king means chicken of the king, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's in the recipe.
Yeah, I think chunking... is the one that, I don't know, we'll find out. 6 different sources. all right, well, we'll just have to look and see where it's manufactured when we see it either on the shelf or we'll know in the restaurant and we can ask somebody.
Yeah, I mean, historically, I wouldn't imagine an Asian dish would have made it to the French court in that time.
Marco Polo. I mean, he brought spices. That's where pepper came from.
Yeah, but that wasn't Japan or China. That was further west.
Right. Culinary history. That's why people tune into this show. You know that.
Well, it is.
And fashion history, too.
Yeah. Culinary history, especially in this country, is very interesting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say very shallow.
No, it's not. Just where we eat.
Oh, too much fun.
Yeah.
So what's keeping you awake these days? Anything exciting?
Well, I wouldn't call it exciting, but, you know, the usual things. Staffing, budget, the future.
Do you ever think those would become routine? Yeah, okay, we got a budget challenge, okay. Instead of the first couple of years, it's panic mode, and you're running around trying to figure things out.
I think for anyone that's in a leadership position, it's always a concern or a thing you have to deal with.
I've never been a proponent of these bulb out things, ever, ever, ever. I think it's the
really?
Most stupid thing
it's
in the world.
First I've heard of this.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you just lost one of your two correct answers. I'm hearing not only a lot of others similar comments, but that there's a number of lawsuits, and we've got to wait for miles next month, that are coming because vehicles are basically driving over the things and having damage as they're trying to make turns onto two-ways. Can your rigs turn onto a two-way street or that has one of these bulb outs without having to make the big wide swing and go all the way out into the other lane?
It is a more difficult turn to make. I've talked to the public works director at the city, and an important thing to recognize is that the actual lane alignments haven't been put in place yet because all the bulb outs aren't done. So right now we're having to overcompensate for everything because we're used to it.
If we've got a two lane, you can't move it unless they're going to start turn everything into one way, which would be really interesting.
Okay,
fine.
I'm no traffic development expert, but I'll give you my thoughts when we come back.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop with traffic engineer Sean Robertson from Humble Bay Fire.
Yeah.
So there's going to be I know the main drags are supposed to go down from three lanes to two lanes.
Yes, that's
That'll be really exciting too, huh? We'll see how people can weave in and out at faster speeds.
I don't see a lot of weaving.
You don't think that people will be zipping them back and forth?
No.
Like they do on the highway or on Broadway?
I don't see much of that either.
You don't get out a lot, do you?
I every day. Sit in my cave.
It's amazing. I'm on the safety. Well, when I'm not going across the bridges, which is my preferred, if I'm in the safety corridor, there's always somebody going 15, 20 miles an hour faster than everybody else, zipping in and out. It's funny. Well, even on a lot of the main drags, H&I, you see it. Probably more on or H Street.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen no matter where you are.
Yeah, but if you only have two lanes, it's going to be a little bit more problematic to do that.
Again, this is speculation.
Of course it is. That's
dynamics.
What makes a show, baby. Okay. If we're just reiterating what's going on, that's kind of boring.
Well, anecdotally, what my evidence shows is when you go from three to two lanes, when you don't have a whole lot of traffic, you increase your vehicle load per lane, and that inherently slows everything down, so your ability to zip around diminishes. Just go drive down Fifth Street when, one, it was two lanes for a month as a demo.
Yeah, when they were doing the bulb outs.
Building, and yeah. Now they're doing the bulb outs. It's a lot slower.
And I've seen more, not towards me, but I've observed more gesturing, too.
I've not seen that. Well, but
you probably focus on the road and straight ahead instead of...
Yeah, and I grew up driving the streets of Johannesburg in South Africa. And
it's all a piece of cake here,
this
huh?
It's almost... it's interesting sometimes when we have traffic here and how frustrated folks get because we're just not used to it.
Yeah, references, yeah.
But when it's chaos and it's, gridlock every day, you just...
Well, we don't have road dividers on our sidewalks. You're right.
Yeah, we don't have those either.
I was thinking more New York City.
I've never been there.
I've only been there twice. I felt so stupid when I found out. Came in. It was a convention in Boston, but I came in. It was when Rush was, maybe 2-3 years
Rush
on the national
band?
Scene. No. Nice try. Took the subway in, and you come out in New York Central Station. And the studios of WABC at the time were, 30th floor, something like that, in Madison Square Garden, that building.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it was two blocks away. So I got a cab.
Oh.
The guy looked at me. He got a pretty good tip once I realized what was going on.
I bet you did.
But it was kind of one of those, okay, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once when I was like 8 or 9 and we walked, it was either Shea or Yankee Stadium. I remember walking up the causeway and seeing the ballpark, and that's
nice.
About it.
So what are the sidewalk dividers?
Basically they drive on the sidewalk.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
Or they did. Now, whether or not they do now, I can't speak to that. But that kind of seemed to be what the general frustration is with a lot of folks. And it's interesting. I think driving is, we all know driving is personal. But when it gets interrupted or changed, we take it personal.
Yes.
And I think that is going to be an awful lot of those types of things happening as the city fathers and mothers are getting their plan implemented.
Right.
So I just was curious. I would like to think that they consulted you guys.
They did.
Because you have to go fast around corners.
Yeah, and, it is, some of it is a challenge right now because we're having to overcompensate.
Does it slow you down? Or does it slow the response time down?
Not noticeably. I mean, it's, half a second to go a little slower around the corner and then...
That's not life... Well, most times it's not life and death.
Well, most times it is, but
half a second.
The response is life and death, but the time effect isn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you guys involved much with the? Was it a hostage standoff? I don't know what the terminology of it was. The event.
Yeah.
I guess in January.
Yes, we were on standby for the entire duration.
So what does that mean?
We're essentially there for medical support and then for anything else. We've done a variety of things in those situations in the past to getting law enforcement personnel onto roofs or forcing doors or putting out fires. But generally we're there as medical support. So if someone gets injured, we're there on scene immediately. And it's for law enforcement personnel as well as
just anybody.
Citizens, yeah, or anybody.
So how many folks do you send there?
We just have one
truck?
One company, yeah, like we would for any other medical or single unit response, yeah.
And then you just stage back a little bit further so that you're not in the way?
Yes.
But you don't hook up the hoses in advance in case a fire breaks out?
No, we have enough
until that happens.
Water in our tanks and the rigs to be prepared for an initial attack, and if it's anything bigger than that, like a house fire, then we would dispatch the full response, which for us is 4 units, so we would have that capacity ready to go.
Would they ever use water as a way to take care of the situation? Would they put you guys in that position? You're smiling like, what a weird question.
Are you asking if we use water hoses to subdue people?
I think we will get that answer when we come back, though. Another cliffhanger. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Hi, we're back talking shop. It's 8:35. During the break, we were talking about being real,
being authentic.
Yeah,
using your authentic voice.
Whatever we are.
Yeah.
Kind of defeats the concept or the imagery of makeup, though, too. So
that's more of an enhancement, don't you think? For example.
Oh, you've had this conversation before.
I haven't. I was thinking about my voice and what my authentic self.
Oh, I
is.
Thought you were talking about your personal experiences at home, and it's an enhancement, dear.
No. But my wife is.
You are now in the corner.
Very beautiful.
Work your way out of it, babe.
She doesn't need any makeup, but when she does have a small amount, it is definitely. An enhancement, and it means we're going out to do something fun. So.
Yeah, it's kind of an indicator that you're not going to be
something special
hanging out. Yeah,
it's like when I make my hair look even better.
Oh, apparently there's nothing going on today, huh?
No, it's just Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had a cliffhanger there, and I had asked if it was is there any situation that you're aware of where. A fire department would be used to either help break down or thin out a crowd or de-escalate a situation by using the hose.
No. That is not acceptable for us to do.
Because there's so much power behind it? People could get hurt?
Yes, severely hurt, and... There's different ways to deal with crowds, and our job is in de-escalation is, and we deal with that often, is much more on an individual level. But yeah, that's not appropriate at all for us to do. And
yeah. But there are some fire departments that have done that in the past.
In the 60s.
Things have just, case law and probably liability insurance, and things of that nature, as well as common sense have changed that.
Yeah, and just... not hurting people, that we don't do that. And none of us in public service should, our job isn't to hurt people, it's to protect them and the community, so, yeah.
So next question is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, let's move on. From yeah. Now, if it was a zombie apocalypse, that'd be something different.
You know, isn't it funny? Before those two stupid TV shows...
Which stupid TV show?
Nobody talked. Walking Dead or Return of the Walking Dead. Or it's kind of Bride of Frankenstein, Frankenstein's Monster, Son of Frankenstein, Daughter. I mean, this thing kind of explodes.
Say that, about
that phrase was never used as regularly as it is.
Sure. There's lots of current terms that have just been created.
But zombies. I mean, what? Really?
Well, it's vampires.
Yeah. Well, vampires have been around for a little bit.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that leads to speculation, huh? Everything. From the Count to current, what happened before then? They just had bats.
Well, it depends what stories you heard where you grew up.
I didn't grow up in Romania, did you?
I'm saying where you grew up, you heard a different version of probably something similar, of there's a monster under the bed, and then we at parents, you would use that tell the kids to be quiet, and there's a version of that probably in most places. I mean, they made a movie about it called Monsters, Inc. Remember that one?
Yeah, those were called stuffed animals.
It's still.
I didn't get scared with from stuffed animals. Did you?
I don't remember.
Did your teddy bear scare you?
It to have a very bizarre waistcoat.
And that kind of brings it full circle with the fashion statement.
But yes, zombies are a very interesting current term. It's that's almost ubiquitous now.
Yeah, it's commonplace. Well, as things have changed and developed, is there a piece of gear that, if budget wasn't an issue, that you'd love to have on your trucks? Or normal protocol, either on the turnouts or in the trucks, that could make things a little bit easier?
Well, technology is changing quickly. I think money is an object, because what we see sometimes is the technology we would like, and often it's out of the military because they have a significant budget that none of us do.
They're kind of generations ahead of everybody with a lot of
so
this stuff.
So often it's in communications levels or protection for the crews. So, you know, sometimes a drone on every rig is now, drones are being used in very different ways. We looked at using those maybe 8 years ago for our hazmat team, because in hazmat,
to be able to get on right over it and see what's going on instead of exposing.
Because before, you would have to go in your fully enclosed suit, and you would then have to report out what you're seeing, and you're going through a SCBA mask and then the fully encapsulated suit. So sometimes it was very difficult to tell what you're looking at, and then you couldn't see very well through all of that. So having that technology be great. The protective equipment we have to protect the firefighters from heat and combustion products, you know, that'd be more advanced. It's more small things like that. And after that, I'm doing techno speculation. But frankly, I had all the money in the world right now, what thing would I want is...
I know, island in the Caribbean.
You know, more firefighters and have them be better paid and compensated, you know, so that we can maintain our staffing and take care of problems, and then have them even better trained. So there's no piece of equipment for me that's anywhere close to as important as those things.
Bodies,
and that's more of the struggle. Is
are you short now?
Yes.
Many? If you were fully staffed, what would be?
Well, right now
the difference?
Four people. Right now we're four down.
So that's one truck?
Yes, it is. Fully staffed truck. We're constantly losing folks. It's becoming more and more difficult to recruit. I've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, so who was in... Hansel had some, but he didn't have... Somebody was saying that all of a sudden there's a... Paul from the CHP. That there's been an uptick in the last 2 or 3 months, at least for officers or state employees. I mean, I don't, you know, they're both, but that he had a sense that something may have changed out there.
An uptick
in interest, in applications, in enrollment at the police academies.
Oh, interesting.
Not a tidal wave.
Right.
Staying with our water referencing.
Yeah.
But that there was an uptick.
Interesting.
And I thought, that's bodes well,
you know,
for you guys and everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, we could speculate on what the reason for that is. I mean, I think it's probably a latent effect of coming out of COVID and people graduating and looking for solid work.
When did COVID end?
Wasn't it officially in, feels like 23.
That was the last year or two.
Yeah, when the federal government officially said it was over. But for us, recruitment, we're getting less and less people applying, and they have less and less experience.
So you're getting less people with less qualifications.
Yeah. And then
can you do like a junior program out of the high school, like a mentoring or an internship or something like that?
Yes.
The kids ride along and, you know, help clean things up and do reports and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, we're actually starting that this month. We've been working on it for a couple of years. Fortuna Fire is a really successful program that we'd love to come close to mimicking. They've had a great response to it, so they've had local kids come and be part of their Explorer program, and then they become volunteers. Because for us, it's the recruitment problem is, you know, more career based, but for all the volunteer agencies, their numbers are diminishing as well. And we've talked in the past about the challenges for that, of one, being put in a, you know, hazardous environment and not getting anything for it, and two, the training requirements have increased, and so the time commitment has increased, and that's just become more and more difficult.
Is there a strong partnership between Cal Fire or CD, whatever they call themselves now?
Cal Fire.
And Fortuna Fire? I would think because they're co-located that there would be a real nice relationship to be able to build careers.
I think there is a good working relationship. In terms of building careers, I'm not sure about that. You'd have to ask Chief Brown about that.
Well, you talk to him.
I do. I will ask him that question.
Yeah, I would think it would make sense, you know, yeah. Particularly if you're patterning your program after some of their successes. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
I hope that you're patterning after positive programs rather than.
Yeah,
it's less than positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a development program for youth, and then for us too, it's a bridge to our cadet firefighter program, which is. You know, we've changed from the volunteer firefighter kind of system to more of how police departments do theirs. So you go from your intern and you go through the basic training and you come out and you get a job. So that's.
Oh, really? It's a direct to job.
That's, yep. That's our goal.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have agreement. all right, we will solve the mystery of chicken a la king when we come back.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York strip steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A boneless skinless chicken thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson and culinary historical expert.
Historian, yep.
Sean Robertson. What'd you come up with there for chicken a la king?
We have our search results. First of all, chicken a la king consists of diced chicken in a cream sauce with sherry mushrooms and vegetables.
Yeah, baby. Sounds good.
Although it's sometimes made with tuna or turkey. That does
not so good, because you go down that trail, there's tofu at the end of that one. That would not be a good development.
Tofu a la king?
There's a reason why it's probably not on too many menus. We'll just kind of leave it there.
All right.
Being the big fan of tofu that I am.
I like some tofu and stir fry. It's great.
I tried it once. It had like a salmon, one of the local guys at a health fair back when Bayshore Mall used to host it.
Oh, so man.
Gives you kind of a time reference, right? And they had some salmon. It was like palatable. Okay. I mean, I'll have to be in a spot where it's either alcohol induced or peer pressure to try it again. I love soy sauce, but not. Tofu to me just kind of looks like a wiggly white Latin mass.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. So the research found that dishes or recipes have appeared in cookbooks since as early as 1665, but bizarrely without recipes, which is interesting. And there's no indication that they're similar to the modern chicken a la king. Some competing accounts, it was created by Delmonico's chef, Charles Ranhofer, as chicken a la king in the 1880s, named after Foxhole Pocakeen. Sounds Interesting.
Sounds to me like Esquire ought to be at the end of that name.
Yeah. Another version was created in 1881 at Claridge's Hotel in London and named for James Arkeen, father of Foxhole. So there's a...
Familial. Okay.
A third story is devised in 1903 for Wolfram Mercy Keen, son of the aforementioned people. A fourth, often disputed, is that it was prepared for Dewberry William Keen, son of Wolfram, grandson of Foxhole, and great-grandson of James.
So we've got four options so far, and they're just trying to fight it out what generation it was?
Yeah, and then Chef
I'm George gonna go with one that Greenwald was toothless.
Brighton Beach Hotel in Brighton Beach in 1898, naming it after his patron, E. Clark King II, and his wife. The last account is in the 1890s by Bill King of the Bellevue Hotel in Philadelphia. The name of William King is not listed, and I have to read this because it's amazing. Amongst the great ones of the earth, no monuments will be erected to his memory, for he was only a cook, but what a cook. In him blazed the fire of genius, which at the white heat of inspiration...
Go on, do it straight. You got to do it straight.
Drove him one day in the old Bellevue in Philadelphia to combine bits of chicken, mushrooms, truffles, red and green peppers, and cream in that delightsome mixture, which was ever known as chicken a la King, but no tofu.
Dang!
That's a challenge to everybody out there. Make chicken a la King with tofu. No, that's not a tofu.
See everybody on Monday.